And as you turn, I'll kind of reference where we're at. In Wednesday night class, we as a youth group are going through every book of the Bible. We started in Genesis and kind of flying, as you say, in the air. We're not looking at every verse. The title of it is The Bible at 30,000 Feet. We're looking in a bird's eye view of what the Scriptures have to say in every single book. We've been through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And I just felt led to share to the church what we're learning. And it lined up perfect with what Brother BJ brought this morning. And I just want to thank God for that. So, good Lord willing, we will get through 24 chapters in about 20-30 minutes. And that's going to be, we're going to look through a few verses and we'll see how it goes. So, if you would stand, it was your reverence for reading of God's Word. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 is the key verse we'll read. The Bible says, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Verse 10, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host." Command of the people, saying, "Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan and go and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." Let's pray. Lord God, this is yours. We thank you for this perfect example of crossing over from death to life. Man, Lord, what a blessing that is. And thank you that you use people that are not worthy, but the blood's applied. Love you, and I ask you to take over, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. So, Joshua, we're up to speed here. We're talking about the children of Israel. They're God's chosen people, and they have been through a lot through the first 5 books of the Bible. We see that they were in bondage. They were in slavery to the Egyptians, but God took them out. God turned it around, if you would. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage. They walked for a few, walked for a long time in the desert wandering, trying to get to the promised land. But they're finally here. And a lot of folks, a lot of scholars say that the book of Joshua is about stepping into heaven, you know, stepping into the promised land. The only problem with that is heaven's going to have a lot of fighting. And the book of Joshua talks about that. And I kind of want to look at it as this. The children of Israel were in trespasses. They were in sin. They were in slavery. And God brought them to the promised land. God brought them into another life. That's us as believers. I once was dead in sin, but now I'm alive in Christ. And that's what the promised land represents as a born-again believer. And I thank God for that. And the promised land shows us, and Joshua shows us, 4 things of what that promised land represents. Number 1 is in chapter 1, is a crossing over. The Jordan was in front of these people. The only way they could get from where they were standing to the promised land was they had to cross over. Chapter 1, verse number 2 says, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. God tells the children of Israel, God tells his chosen people to cross over. He tells them to step in faith into that promised land. The river of Jordan was in between them, and they had to get from point A to point B. Well, how do they do that? Verse 13 tells us that when you step over into the promised land, you obtain rest. Now, I'm talking about being a born-again believer here. When you step over into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you obtain rest. You obtain peace. You obtain the Holy Spirit leading you wherever you go. And in verse 13, it tells us that there's rest on the other side. It says, "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest, and he has given you this land. There's rest only because God gave it. There's only way we can step over from death to life is because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Only way. The way, the truth, and the life. There's rest. Let's look one more verse down. There's help when you step over into that promised land. It says, verse 14, your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren armed and the mighty men of valor and help them. The background of that verse is that a few tribes already possessed their land right outside the Jordan, but Joshua is telling them, you're going to go in with your brothers. You're going to help them fight to obtain their promised land. So there's human help, and we as believers know that there's, when you get saved, you're adopted into a family. And people are now in like-minded spirits. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And there's help in that. When you're in trouble, what do God's people do? They pray. They seek God's face. They ask Him for help. And I thank God for help, but I'm thank God for their human help, and I'm thank God for a supernatural help. I thank God that He helps His people. I thank God He does, because it tells us in chapter 2, turn the page, couple pages over, chapter 2, verse 9, there's supernatural help. I told you we're going through 24 chapters, so y'all just buckle in. Chapter 2, verse 9, it says, and she said unto the men, I know, this is Rahab, she said unto them, I know that the Lord God, that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint before you. There's no man that can put terror in somebody's heart but the man, Christ Jesus. God gave these people their promised land. And the people that were living there, He gave fear on them because they knew that the people of the children of Israel were different. They were different. They wasn't like anybody else. They wasn't like their neighbors. There's something different about a Christian. Should be. Because the Holy Spirit now dwells inside that individual. When you ask the Lord into your heart, there's human help, but I thank God there's supernatural help when you cross over from death to life. And we see that the only way we can do that is through a step of faith. Chapter 3, verse 15. The step of faith. I told you the only thing in between the children of Israel and the promised land was the Jordan River. And the Jordan River was big, and it was wide, and it was deep. And the only way they could cross over is they had to step in faith. They had to put their feet in the water. And the Bible tells us in this scripture that when they put those feet in the water, the Jordan opened up and they went through. Chapter 3, verse 15. It says, and they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all of his banks at this time of harvest. Verse 16, the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city. That's telling me that when the priest took a step of faith into the Jordan River, they took one step, and it opened up. And God's people went right on through. And the only way to go from death to life as a Christian, the only way to be saved is a step of faith, is it not? You call on the name of the Lord. You say, the only way I can get into heaven, the only way I can be forgiven of my sins is I take a step of faith and say, I can't do it anymore, Lord. Take my sins away. And when you do that, those rivers open up and you walk right through. And you walk into your promised land once you cross over. Number two, we see there's a crossover. Number two, I thank God for this, there's a change. Boy, y'all know, hey, we've talked about change a lot here lately. There's a change, not only inside, but on the outside. And that is proven here in Joshua. Let's go to chapter 5. Chapter 5 tells us that there's a change. And if you know anything about the Bible, you know that while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they ate manna. They ate manna. God provided for them when they didn't have nothing. And we see in chapter 5, it tells us the manna's done. The manna's done. Let's go to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 11. It says, "And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day." Verse 12, here we go. "And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna anymore." When you step into faith, when you take the step, when you step into your promised land, and I'm talking about being born again, when you take that, there's a change. You don't go and eat what you used to eat. You understand? Everybody understand what I'm saying? Boy, that sin I used to do, I don't do it no more. Praise God. Number one, it's been forgiven. Number two, I don't want to do it no more. He took the desire. Well, I talked about this in Sunday school this morning. I didn't have a problem looking at pornography when I was lost. I didn't have a problem stealing money from my parents when I was lost. But now that Holy Spirit dwells inside of me. And once you cross over into the promised land, there's change after change in your life. And that's exactly what Joshua is telling us here. There's a change. The manna was over. Their location changed too. Hey, their location changed. Everybody understand where I'm going here? Man, my location is different now. Chapter 5, verse number 13, 14, and 15. It says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went up to him and said, 'Art thou for us or our adversaries?'" In verse 14, this is kind of funny. He didn't say he was for him or against him. All he said was no. And he said, "Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" Verse 15, "And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, 'Loose thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy.'" And Joshua did so. I'm going to tell you something. As a born-again believer, being washed in the blood of our Lord and Savior, there's a change of location. You're now on holy ground. Everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit's in you, and He's in me. So everywhere I go, if God's with me, I'm on holy ground. And now when you step over, just like they did, they left the wilderness for all those years of wandering and stepped into those promised land. Joshua had to fall on his face and worship because he was on holy ground. And so are we as born-again believers. There's a change of manna, change of location. Let's go to chapter 8. There's a change in fighting tactics. And as you're turning, we'll kind of discuss earlier in the history of Israel. When they were leaving Egypt, they were running away from the battle. They were running away. Didn't want to fight. They were running away from the Egyptians. And we see God took care of that. And we see now in chapter 8, verse 1, now they're in the promised land. Now that they're different, now that they're changed, they go to the fight. And I want to encourage you as a believer not to look at the world. Look to the Savior. Chapter 8, verse 1. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, 'Fear not, neither about thou be dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee. Arise, go up to Ai, and see, I have given unto you, under thy hand, the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land.'" God gives the victory. When we were on, when I was on the backside in the wilderness, God wasn't for me. And God wasn't for you. But now I've took that step of faith. Now that I'm born again, the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Now there's a change. I now go to the battle. I don't let Satan defeat me every time no more. I don't fall into the temptations any more than I used to. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And the only way that you and I can fight the temptation of the devil is by the Lord living inside of us. I believe that with all of my heart. There's fighting tactics. They used to run away, but now they're going into the battle. And I wrote this down. I want to share it. I believe the Lord told me to share this. When you start fighting, you start growing. When you start fighting, you start growing. The children of Israel, they started fighting. What happened? They gained more land. That's pretty simple. When they stepped in faith, they're in the promised land, they're with the Lord, now they're fighting for the Lord. They conquered the land that God promised them. Greater is he that's in me. So there's new fighting tactics, and let's go to chapter 13. Because in chapter 8, Joshua and the children of Israel fight. In chapter 10, they fight. In chapter 11, they fight. And I want to share something, even though it's youth night, I want to share something to people that are a little bit older. Chapter 13, Joshua is, it says, Joshua, chapter 13, verse 1, Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, you're old, stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Age don't mean nothing. I get to lead a lot of youth at this church, and I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of youth in this building right now that have the Holy Spirit living inside of them, and that they're strong in their faith, and they're still in high school. And I look at people around this room, and I see senior saints, and I see everybody in between. Even though they're old, God still uses them. And I want to encourage somebody, if you think you're too old, you're not. Joshua was old, and God even told him he was old. He said, you're old. You still got stuff to do. I thank God for that. So, moving on. Number three, we've seen there's a crossing over. We've seen there's a change. Chapter 18, if you will. See, we're moving pretty good. Chapter 18, verse 3. We see a little bit of a slip up. There's complacency. Everybody know what that means? In other words, they're in a lull. They're lukewarm. They're not moving. Well, that convicts me as a believer, as somebody who's been washed in the blood of Jesus. Sometimes if I get too comfortable, I'll get complacent. Am I right? If I get too comfortable being saved and sitting on a pew, Brother Brad, that's exactly what you said. I don't like that. I don't want to be complacent. But these children of Israel show me that if I am very comfortable in our promised land, I'll get complacent. Let's read the verse. Chapter 18, verse 3. It says, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are you slack to go possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given unto you? All of this land he's promised the children of Israel. And all this land he's promised me and you, spiritually. We get complacent sometimes. And I want to share in this chapter why we shouldn't be complacent. I told you earlier, God's done the work. The Lord Jesus, him hanging on the cross for me and my sins, that's all the work needed to be done. Chapter 18, verse number 3, we see that there's complacency and there's slacking. And by the way, this is something that pricked my heart, convicted me. Slacking is sin. If I stay idle, the Bible tells me he'll spew me out of my mouth, or he'll spew me out of his mouth. Slacking is a sin. God's already provided for these people, and God's already provided for us. And God has already laid out the plan for these people, and God's already laid out the plan for me and you. Let's skip down to verse 9 of that same chapter. There's seven tribes, seven group of people in the children of Israel that don't have their land yet. They haven't been given a part of the land. And we're going to read in verse number 9, that when these people go out and survey the land, they're going to see that God's already laid it out the way he was supposed to. Let's just read the verse. It'll explain it. Chapter 18, verse 9. And the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities into seven parts in a book, and come again to Joshua and to the host at Shiloh. In another translation, it says that when they went out to survey this land, remember, there were seven cities left without land. They go out and they survey the land, and it says in the International Children's Bible, because I'm a child, I don't know all these big words. I don't know all these understandings. But it says in that verse, or in that version, that when they went out to see it, it was already laid out in seven different ways. And they didn't have to do nothing but write it down, send it back to Joshua. And I'm going to tell you something as a born-again believer, being washed in the blood of the Lamb. The land's already given. The blood has been applied. We got to step in faith. I got to step up, step in faith, and take what's rightfully mine. Because the devil wants me to not get it. He wants me to stay cowered down. He wants me to stay dead. God wants me alive. He wants me to take what's mine because God's already given it to me. I thought that was very encouraging. They went out. All they had to do, look around, see that it was already given to them, write it down, send it back. Boy, ain't that a blessing. There's complacency, but God already took care of that. Let's go to chapter 20. And this really... This really has nothing to do with the message. This is one thing God laid on my heart to share. It talks about a refuge city. What that means is when they were establishing their land, they had refuge cities for people that did not mean to commit a crime. They would go to these cities and flee for refuge. Let's go to chapter 20, verse number 2. Lord spoke, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. And I want to stop right there and kind of get off topic for a minute. I want to thank God for this church. It talks about in this scripture a refuge city. They'd go to this place and there wouldn't be no judgment. There wouldn't be no condemnation. There wouldn't be no crimes. There wouldn't be no killing. When I read that verse, you know what it reminded me of? This place right here. This place is a refuge city for somebody who does not know Jesus Christ. No condemnation. We're not going to come in here and tell them what they've done wrong. We're going to love them like Jesus loves them. I thank God for this church. And I want to encourage you as a body of believers, when somebody walks in that doesn't look like me, I'm called to love them the same way God loved me. That's what a refuge does. And I thank God for that. Moving on. All right, so we've been through three things. Crossing over, been through a change, been through complacency. And I want to end in chapter 24. Like I say, we've been through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Kind of flying through the scriptures, hitting the high points of what God wants us to see. Chapter 24, Joshua tells the people, make a choice. And I'm asking you to make a choice. Make a choice today. Chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. We see there's crossing over, there's a change, there's some complacency. But at the end of the day, we've got to make a choice. It says, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. I thank God for that. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. Verse 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods which were the fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Boy, ain't that touching. There's a choice we've got to make, church. There's a choice whether we can serve the old or serve the new. And I'm going to tell you something. In the old, there's death, there's sin, and there's hell. You've got a choice whether you can serve that or you can serve the new. And the new's a lot better. Joshua's telling children of Israel to choose today who you're going to serve. It tells us in these scriptures that if you are God's child, you've still got to choose. Let's go back one chapter. Chapter 23, verse 8. And I'm talking to somebody who's been born again. Every single day is a choice. Would everybody agree with me or not? Every single day is a choice. Whether I'm going to wake up, whether I'm going to read my Bible, whether I'm going to pray, whether I'm going to seek God in everything I do, or whether I don't. Chapter 13 or 23, verse 8, the Bible says, "But cleave unto the Lord your God as you have done unto this day." You've already done in the past. You have a relationship. You're a child of God. Joshua's telling his people, and I'm telling you as God's people, cleave unto Him. Because you've done in the past, we need to continue to do it. But there's another group of people, if you don't know Jesus, choose today. It says, chapter 24, verse 15, it says, choose yourself. Choose you this day who you will serve. Whether the gods, or in today's terms, whether the sin, says whether the gods which were on the father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. You can serve the old, you can serve the sin, you can still live in your sin, or you can make a choice today. As for you and your house, will you serve the Lord? There's one thing I'm going to do at my house. Come hell or high water. Sometimes I don't feel great. Sometimes I don't see very good. Sometimes I don't hear the voice of God. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I want you to make a choice today. Today, tonight. You've done crossed over. You've done a change in your life through the Holy Spirit. You may have got complacent, but thank God you can choose today who you're going to serve. I thank God for a choice. I thank God for free will. Because there's some people that choose the evil. And I'm asking you as an individual and as a church, and I'm asking myself when I wake up in the morning to make a choice who I'm going to serve. With that being said, let's ask a word of prayer, and we're going to invite the youth back up. Come on up, Garrett. We're going to sing a song.